Hello and welcome to our site. This evening I want to share with you a very personal word about the person who can make 2021 the greatest year of your life. The person who, despite the pandemic and all the other trials and tests and tragedies that we may face in the coming year, can still make 2021 the greatest year of your life so far. I'm speaking, of course, about the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Please take up your Bible and turn with me to Paul's letter to the Galatians and to the Ephesians. Galatians chapter 5, reading from verse 16, and then from the fifth chapter of Ephesians. So I hope you find the place in your Bible, because there's nothing like the Word of God, the Word that is God-breathed and useful for teaching and correcting, reproving, training us in right living, so that we can be all that God wants us to be. Thank God for the Bible and the privilege of Holy Scripture available to us. And so here we are in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. So I say to you, live by the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. Live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. I'll not read them, but there they are. But in contrast, verse 21, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that is the fruit the Spirit of God produces in the life of the trustful, obedient Christian, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. My, how we need that fruit of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, day by day, moment by moment, a ministry that can transform this year into the greatest year of our life thus far. The Apostle Paul, if you'll turn over to the next letter in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, and reading from verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Wives, love your husbands just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. Husbands, rather, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Masters, treat your slaves or your servants, your employees, in the same way. And so, let me share very personally a relationship that, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit has walked with me through the years. I would have to say this evening that the Holy Spirit of God must receive any glory, any praise that is due to anything good that has taken place in my life. He showed me in 1958 the truth about Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God enabled me to understand the good news, the Christian gospel, that is centered in Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, who became man, Emmanuel, so that God could be with us, who died on the cross to bear away our sin and take our judgment and restore our broken relationship with God through his resurrection power. Why, he took me 2,500 kilometers a few years later to show me the girl that I was to marry. He showed me which job I should take when it came to employment and career. He showed me God's plan for my life. He patiently, gently, faithfully led me. He equipped me for Christian ministry. He led me to the churches that I have pastored through the years. He gave me a love for people. He gave me a love for the Word of God. He gave me a love for prayer. He helped me in my weakness. He gifted me to preach and to teach God's Word. He has been my counselor when I needed wisdom. He's been my comforter when I needed encouragement. He's been my teacher, my guide, my healer, my strength. He has helped me to be a husband, a father, and a grandfather. He has enabled me to lead and feed and inspire and encourage the different congregations that I've had the privilege of pastoring over the last 50 years. Scores of churches that I've had the privilege of visiting and preaching in. He has given me a few thousand sermons. He's enabled me to make and baptize and disciple several hundred people and to help support the cause of missions. When I've blown it, he has reproved me. When I've erred, he has corrected me. When I've sinned, he's convicted me. When I've grieved him, he has forgiven me. For the 60 years that I have been a Christian, he has never left me. Most of all, he's made Jesus so real in my personal experience. Now, of course, to many, the Holy Spirit is no friend at all. There are those who are not Christians and certainly don't want to be. To them, the Holy Spirit is a threat to their lifestyle because he convinces and convicts us of sin, of those things that are offensive to God, and he confronts us with the truth about ourselves and about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life, man's only access to God the Father. There are those who do not want the friendship of the Holy Spirit because they have chosen their own way. They've chosen the way of the world. At worst, they have chosen the way of the devil. All of us were once like that, the Apostle Paul reminds us. We were children of wrath, children of disobedience. We followed the course of this world. We were lost and dead in our depravity and sinfulness. Those who want to go to heaven but don't want to be holy on earth, they also are not so keen on the Holy Spirit of God. Sound familiar? You probably know people like that too. They want religion, but not reformation of life and revival. They want forgiveness, but they don't want the fullness of God in their lives. They want to be saved, but they don't want to be sanctified, to be set apart for God and for his purposes. Some people just get mad about the Holy Spirit because he exposes sin. He wants to execute self and expel Satan and enthrone the Savior. And that's the last thing some people want. In fact, by nature, it's not the thing we all want. I frequently meet with Christians who are dead spiritually now. They once professed to follow Jesus, but they are scared of the Holy Spirit now because they know that he'll get to work in their lives wherever Jesus is not Lord. Some people get mad at the mention of the Holy Spirit of God. Some people just get moved by the Holy Spirit, emotionally moved usually, they may love the atmosphere of joy and peace and love that they find in the Christian church, but they have no desire to really allow the Holy Spirit of God to invade their lives and crown Jesus as Lord. So we need to understand that a lot can be experienced before a person is truly born again of the Holy Spirit and becomes a member of the family of God. And a lot can be experienced without a person being truly born again. I mean, take Judas Iscariot, for example. He followed Jesus for 3 years. He likely performed some of the miracles that the other disciples performed. He must have really enjoyed being with Jesus, surely. But he was the son of perdition, betrayed Jesus, sadly in the end took his own life. What about Simon the magician, who wanted to buy the Holy Spirit, as it were? You see, Jesus said, "Many will come to me on that last day and say, 'Lord, Lord, we've done this in your name, and we've done that in your name, and we've done all these other wonderful things in your name.' And yet the Lord will say to many like that, 'I never knew you.'" Now, the Bible teaches that every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Our body is his temple, and corporately we become his dwelling place as the body of Christ on earth. But the thing I want to share with you this evening is that even as Christians, we can have a differing relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. A mediocre relationship, if we choose it, or a great relationship, if we choose that. Every Christian, every true child of God, has the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in him. But the Holy Spirit doesn't have every Christian. In other words, every Christian has all of the Holy Spirit because he is a person. But the Holy Spirit doesn't have control of every Christian. I have all of him, but does he have all of me? That's the question. To put it another way, every Christian has the Holy Spirit, but not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to share with you this evening in more detail. The Holy Spirit of God is a person who longs to control every aspect of our life. And the Apostle Paul makes that abundantly clear in his letter to the Ephesians that we read a few verses of just earlier. He says in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit." So this evening, let's discover what this commandment means, because it is an imperative. And let's see if we can learn, no matter how long we've been on the Christian road, let's see what we can learn from this phrase, "Be filled with the Spirit of God." Because this is what will make the difference in your life and mine in 2021. No matter what circumstances we're facing now, no matter what may lie ahead of us in this year, God's command, through the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesian congregation, comes to us this evening: be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we examine the New Testament, we see that this phrase is used in different ways. It's used to describe a definite experience in the life of an individual at a specific moment in time. This is one of the ways in which this phrase is used. It's used like this of Elizabeth. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 41, we read that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's used of Zechariah in Luke 1:67, that Zechariah the priest was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's used in Acts chapter 4 and verse 8 of Peter. It's used in Acts 13 verse 9 of Paul being filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a definite experience in time. It was tangible, if you like. It was remarkable enough to be mentioned in Scripture. On each of these occasions, the person exhibited some manifestation of the Holy Spirit. He inspired words of praise or prophecy, and in Saul's case, he healed his blindness as well, and he became Paul the Apostle. And so this phrase, "filled with the Spirit," is used sometimes to describe a definite experience in the life of an individual at a specific moment of time. I can recall such moments. I hope you can. Secondly, the phrase filled with the Spirit is used of definite experience of an entire group of people at the same time. On the day of Pentecost, when this Jewish festival was fulfilled, in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God, when the ascended Jesus had received this promise from the Father, and he, as it were, poured him out upon the believing community in Jerusalem. We read, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the whole group of believers at the same time. And this was manifested in speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit enabled them. Then in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 we read, the place where the Jerusalem Christians were praying was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Aren't you longing for that to happen this year, 2021, that God the Holy Spirit would literally shake the place where God's people are praying? More importantly, shake God's people into the fullness of kingdom living. And they shared the good news about Jesus with an amazing God-given boldness. In fact, in every revival of the church through history, we see that groups of people have been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing tonight if we were all filled with the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing for every Christian during 2021 to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? What a difference that would make to our world this year. The church would never be the same. The world would never be the same. And then thirdly, the phrase was used to describe the general condition of certain individuals. That is the ongoing, consistent characteristic of their lives. Clearly, what we would call spirit-filled people. The best example, of course, is Jesus himself. At his baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon him in power and anointing, and he remained filled with the Holy Spirit of God all his days on earth. The expression is also used in the choosing of the seven deacons in Acts chapter 7. Choose out seven men known to be full of the Holy Spirit. That is, seven men who are known to be spiritually mature, seven men in whom the fruit of the Spirit is evident and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are operating. Stephen is one of them, and he is described as a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And that brings us right back to our text in Ephesians 5:18. It's an imperative in a whole chain of imperatives, and it's in the present continuous tense in the passive voice, and it's plural. What that all means is that, listen carefully, it is a command to all Christians to live all the time in such total submission to Jesus that the Holy Spirit has access to every area of our life and being, enabling us to take on the character of Jesus and to do the work that Jesus has left us to do on earth. That's the purpose of the fullness of the Spirit. We must always take a verse in context, and when you look at Ephesians 5:18 in context, Paul is showing that if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will negatively, or if you like, on the negative side, say no to things that are wrong, things that are selfish and sinful, and we will say yes to things that are right and godly. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to reject those things, even thoughts and words, much less deeds, that are wrong in the eyes of God, and say yes to things that are right and good and godly. That's the transformation that the Holy Spirit in his fullness brings into our lives. Paul shows that if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll be Christ-like in character, and that will shine through not only in our worship, when we're singing songs of praise to God, but also in our relationships, in our marriage, he says, in our family situation, in our place of work as employees or employers. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to reflect the life and character of Jesus just where we are, where God has placed us day by day, whether it's in the home, in the school campus, university, in the workplace, on the sports field, wherever. The balance of Paul's teaching shows that a Spirit-filled person is a person who behaves like Jesus. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are manifestations of His presence and grace. They're not a gauge of our spiritual maturity, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit is certainly a gauge of our spiritual maturity, whether we are truly filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit or not. So in context, when Paul is saying, be being filled with the Holy Spirit, he is saying, let the Holy Spirit of God so control your life that you behave like Jesus in every situation of your life. He uses the illustration, or the analogy, if you like, of intoxication. He says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't do that which leads to debauchery by taking on board in your life too much alcohol. Because, you see, when you are drunk, you behave unnaturally, naturally. You don't have to tell a drunk person to behave in an unnatural way. He raises his voice. He may do the most ridiculous things that he would never do if he had full control of his mind and of his behavior. Now, the contrast is this. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you behave supernaturally, naturally. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a brilliant physician who became a pastor and ministered for nearly 40 years at Westminster Chapel, London, wrote, drink is not a stimulus, it's a depressant. It depresses first and foremost the highest centers of all in the brain. They're the very first to be influenced and affected by alcohol. They control everything that gives a man self-control, wisdom, understanding, discrimination, judgment, balance, the power to assess everything. In other words, everything that makes a person behave at his or her very best and highest. The better a person's control, the better that person is. But alcohol is something which immediately gets rid of control. That indeed is the first thing that it does. Alcohol goes to the brain and makes a person behave unnaturally. The Holy Spirit of God, on the other hand, penetrates the entire life and makes a person behave like Jesus. He also gives power. The power to be what God wants us to be. The power to say what God wants us to say. The power to go where God wants us to go. Power to carry out the mission of Jesus. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus clearly told his disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses from where you stay to the ends of the earth. Jesus fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah in the temple, the synagogue at Nazareth, said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, give sight to the blind, set captives free. Don't miss this side of the story. When the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus released his life through them. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit has come to you, dear friend. And that's what the Holy Spirit longs to do through each and every one of us, to release the life of Jesus through us. The disciples' lives were transformed. Look at them before the day of Pentecost, and look at them afterwards when their lives were filled with the Holy Spirit. Why, it's like night and day. Their shyness was turned to boldness. Their weakness was turned to strength. Their fear was turned to courage. Their selfishness was turned to generosity. Their sinfulness was turned to holiness. Their sadness was turned to joy. Their disobedience was turned to obedience. They gloried in tribulations. They gladly suffered the loss of material things. They forgave their enemies. They gave up their independence, and they became independent upon one another and upon the Lord. Their isolation became community, as they were joined together by the Holy Spirit into one body, the Church, the body of Christ on earth. From a group of fearful people, locked behind closed doors for fear of persecution, they became flaming evangelists as they boldly shared the good news about Jesus with religious people, academic people, violent people, good people, bad people. They weren't rude or pushy, but they were very bold, very courageous, because they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I trust that as we close this evening, you will allow the Holy Spirit of God, the first, the third person of the Trinity, to glorify the first person of the Trinity, our Heavenly Father, and the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, when he is come, he will teach you about me. He will make plain to you all the teaching of Scripture that points to me. He will bring to your remembrance the things that I have shared with you. And so the Holy Spirit of God comes to us to make Jesus real, alive in our personal experience, and to make us more like him, so that we may know Christ and make him known, is why the Holy Spirit has come. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to allow the Holy Spirit full control of every area of our being. He is able to do that which we cannot do. And so the Holy Spirit is able to lead us moment by moment, day by day, as we fix our eyes on Jesus and as we commit ourselves to obeying his great commission and joining him on his mission of world redemption. It is the Holy Spirit of God who personally not only indwells us, but enables us to be what God wants us to be and to reflect the life and the love of Jesus Christ. Allow 2021 to be the greatest year of your life so far, as this very moment you humbly bow in prayer and yield your life fully to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Lord Jesus, would you fill me anew? Deal with anything that offends you, Lord. Give to me the ability to see any unconfessed sin that would hinder the relationship, for I know that you don't fill dirty vessels. And so cleanse this vessel as I come to you now. Wash me clean, Lord, through the precious blood of Jesus shed for me on the cross. And Holy Spirit of God, fill me, control me, enable me. Help me to witness. Help me to pray. Help me to think your thoughts after you, Lord. I pray that in 2021 I may grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit is my counselor, my teacher, my guide, my helper, my enabler, the one who gifts me, and the one who works in me that which is pleasing in your sight. And so reign, King Jesus, reign, as we yield to the grace and influence, the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, that you will be exalted and glorified in our lives every day of 2021. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and comfort and counsel of the Holy Spirit, and his divine control, be your portion now and evermore. Amen.